podcast. And yeah, make sure that never, we edit out anything that we're not supposed. Oh, we're on.
What? I'm never listening to them again. It's right. A one shot deal.
Fair
enough.
It's like a live animal recording.
Yeah, that's it. There it is.
Found you in the wild and recorded it.
Whatever. It's a one shot deal. I feel like that is a very dramatic Hollywood take on how I do business.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah, that's it. And mostly because I just like to listen to other podcasts, and so I will use that to spur ideas to fuel into this one. And because that takes so much effort and energy, there's no way I can sit back and re-listen to this again.
So if anything gets beeped out or the sound drops out or anything gets cut out, it's because I did it, not you.
You didn't catch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't do it because they didn't catch it.
Gotcha.
And I think it's authentic that way. People will know there's no editing or no massive editing anyways, because it's if stuff screws up, we just put it out there. People are like, hey, it screwed up. We'd be like, yeah, but we obviously don't, you know, screw with anything. It's authentic.
So am I to believe we're just going to fade into this? Is that what's happening?
Well, yeah.
As the editor, I'm going to need to know this.
Listen, I listened to a few seconds of that last one, and which is probably the most I'm ever going to do. And having listened to those few seconds, it sounded awesome. As I said to you, some of the best podcasts out there just kind of start.
I'm putting notes. Start. We're going to start with triumphant music, and then we're going to fade into just chatter.
Actual triumph or triumphant music?
No, we can't get that kind of rights. Come on. Triumphant.
In this day and age, do you even need rights anymore?
Well, yeah. If we make money, you're right. Never. No, we don't.
That's it. I feel like we should be looking at things like Styx and Fleetwood Mac.
Come on now. Stuff
we grew up with. Listen, I was going to say this to you the other day. We should really think about some cool conversations with the growth of music. I mean, that's not going to be this podcast, but... Again, we grew up in this awesome span, right? And
you know the music industry has been dying for years, right?
Oh, I think post 2010 it's been dead.
Okay.
But, you know, basically...
But hey, vinyl's making a comeback. I think it's like 3% of sales.
there is some cool stuff. I mean, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters are, you know, authentic, real. They've hung around for some time. I'm sure some people will give me crap and tell me there's other stuff out there, but I'm struggling to find it. But with that being said, pretty much I would say if we're going to pinpoint a moment in the world where music died, I'm going to say Britney Spears and Ricky Martin and that whole time frame pretty much just killed.
It's funny that you mentioned that because that, as Xennials, that music was our high school music. Like that music was all through our high school.
Crap, you can tell me I just became predictable.
No, but what I'm saying is like that is a problem that we dealt with. So Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls.
Do we deal with it though, or do we just like put up with it?
Well, yeah, we put up with it. But I mean, I think that's something that was specific to our generation. I mean, either younger than us would have had it as kids, which is more appropriate, I guess. We got stuck with it. Like that's the music that was playing in the jukebox in the high school cafeteria. Is, you know, a little bit of Monica and, you know, like Lou Bega and like, but then every once in a while you get like a Perfect Circle. Like you get something that was half decent mixed in with, and then it would play for 30 seconds and then some jerk would go up and put on Lou Bega or Ricky Martin or something that.
And I do believe our musical tastes are kind of, they're very similar between us. I mean, I think you go a little heavier than I do and I will listen to some different stuff. Like I will listen to country every once in a while you know, just different things. But.
What's that? The microphone's up? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, what I mean is I think that there's a lot of cool things that come with a different type of music. And I do I'm not going to say it'd be that that person who says, you know, everything today is crap because there's still some really cool stuff. Like, I mean, Florence and the Machine, really fun to listen to. When we had Mumford Sons come along, you know, which it was easy to overdo, but it was cool. I'll admit I like Ed Sheeran. The guy's pretty original, pretty cool. I don't mind putting him on and listening to him.
You know what? I've just thought of a new segment we can add to the podcast. Somewhere near the end, we can have recommendations that we recommend to each other, something that we're not, the other person's not into, and say, you know, you got to check this out.
Is that because all the stuff I just talked about, you're not into?
I'm going to check out all that stuff. That's what I'm saying. I made a list right now.
I felt like...
While I'm making my list... I think you should pick up on the homework from last episode.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so I had to use the interwebs there. I had to use the internet because, quite frankly, I was struggling to
you should probably reiterate what it was that we were...
Oh, yeah, the homework question. The homework question was, so what was the question again? Well, what was the show
first, or well, yeah, basically show you watched that you weren't supposed to, like your parents wouldn't have approved of. Yeah, the first like
television show that you probably shouldn't have watched when you were younger, and it was kind of not age appropriate. Okay, so as I struggle through this, because I'm starting to realize that I think we grew up at a time when they were starting to figure out shows were not age appropriate. And so as we were children growing up, watching things like Taxi and MASH and Three's Company and Married with Children and, you know, those types of shows that at the time probably weren't age appropriate, I think it also desensitized us very, very early.
Can you imagine Three's Company now? Like, I cannot imagine that show coming to air on like network television. Entire show was just John Ritter trying to get with two women. The entire
show. Well, more than two women. It was him getting with women and then coming back and trying to get with those two women as well.
Sorry, yeah. I was giving him more credit than he deserved.
And his neighbor was a man whore.
Yeah. And yeah. Also, they had Don Knotts after a while. So, well, yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine that show being on. So, is that your pick? What's your pick?
I'm going to have to go with Married with Children because I think that was the first show that really had the whole... Actually, no, I'm going to backtrack this again. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say Taxi. Because Taxi, as I was young. I was young with Taxi. I was probably like 6, 7.
Yeah, Taxi ran in repeats, I remember, quite a lot.
But Danny DeVito, hilarious. Loved watching him. And now realize, older, watching Taxi, those were way out of my depth. And probably why I don't remember a lot of the episodes and had to rewatch them. And so as I got older, I rewatched them and went, I remember this. Vaguely remember this. And then you start to draw that connection that you watch these things when you're younger. But I can say Taxi was probably the first one for me. You know, a show that probably I thought was weird was Webster, but we'll leave that one alone.
No, with Taxi, was it just because it was more like adult themes sort of?
Yeah, thing? It was a show that was probably on 7, 8 o'clock at night, probably 8 o'clock at night. And the time frame, I was definitely younger. So I would have been probably 6, 7, which doesn't really connect. You probably shouldn't have been watching Taxi when you were 6.
I would like to think you probably didn't know what necessarily was happening on the show as much. But
that and WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember, my dad used to have that. Yeah. My mom and dad had that on a lot. So, you know, well, you, what was yours?
Mine, vividly, I remember. So I had a...
Vividly?
Well, I remember this. I remember the whole situation. Like, I remember... So I had I want to say 13-inch. It might have been smaller. Black and white TV in my room that just had rabbit ears. So I could get CBC and...
Rich kid.
Yeah, Channel 9, maybe. I remember having to go to bed at like, I want to say 8 or 8:30. I think it was like 8, but I could read until 8:30 because that was the parent thing. Like, you can stay up if you're reading a book.
Hold on, wait a second. I use that rule with my kids right now.
Oh, okay. There you go. But I remember, I don't know when it started. It might've been 10 or 11, probably 11. But I remember I'd wake up and I'd put on CBC, which still to this day, I don't know how they got away with it, but they would run Kids in the Hall.
Oh my God.
So Kids in the Hall, completely not appropriate for like a 10, 11 year old kid.
12, 13, 16.
Yeah. And so, but I remember like I'd turn on TV real quiet because I didn't have like headphones or something on TV. So I had to like listen to it real quietly. But that was the one that I remember. And there's very little about that show that's appropriate for children. I mean, it was a lot of it was very sexualized. It was weird seeing grown men dressed as women. Although I guess
that's always now weird. That's,
yeah, maybe not as much, but...
Come on, I was thinking Little Britain.
But yeah, but that one was definitely... And then I'd go to like... I remember going to school and like trying to find somebody else that watched it, which was difficult because none of them did. But I think it was definitely the beginning of me getting in any kind of like sketch comedy shows. Because then after that, I remember like in high school, I'd tape like SNL and we'd bring it in and watch it in the student council room.
Since I never left.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, is there a statute of limitations? We're good now, right?
Yeah, we're good. The school's not there anymore, so.
Oh, that's true, too. I mean, that was definitely the one that I remember standing out for me. So, yeah.
So, I pulled up a quick list of some of the top shows back from then, and I'm realizing some shows.
Good Lord, Dallas ran until 1991?
Well, this is the stuff I was going to get at, how long some of these shows are. It is funny, now, based on everything that's happened in the world, I look at The Cosby Show and now feel like it's creepy, even though it wasn't then. It was actually quite good of a show. I mean, in all seriousness, it was a good show.
I may or may not still have the whole show on DVD.
Yeah, it was good. He was very funny. I mean, it's hard to...
It's not weird at all that he was a gynecologist that ran his practice out of his basement.
Oh my God, I seriously just drew that connection.
Anyway.
Okay, so I just thought of two conversations that need to be brought up here. One, I you know, we touched on last time having the world of entertainment media at our fingertips now. And I like that. I think it's cool. And one of the things I'm really enjoying right now is I'm enjoying my kids getting to watch some of the sitcoms that I grew up with, because there really isn't sitcoms today that my kids can watch. I mean, not in their age, okay? And as they start to become teenagers and that, I'm sure they're going to expand.
Well, there's not a whole lot of...
The superhero
there's
stuff.
There's not a whole lot of good sitcoms, really. I mean, the sitcom kind of peaked in the 90s and sort of faded after that.
True, and I think Netflix has brought a new incarnation of what a sitcom is. It's kind of like a really long movie now, essentially broken a bunch of episodes, which is cool because, you know, my kids are taking that stuff in and they're enjoying that a bit. And they're doing that with cartoons and they're doing that with, action shows and character-driven shows. And that's a good thing. But I was going to say, now that we have all this media and access to streaming, what are you so happy to go back and rewatch? Or what have you rewatched that you think is so great that you rewatched it? And in a two-parter, what have you rewatched that made you completely doubt why you watched it in the first place?
See, I'm going to answer the second part of that question first. And my experience so far has been that everything I thought was great, when I went back and rewatched it, you're just like cringing. Like, I remember
everything.
Almost. Like, I went back and watched Xena.
Oh man, that's not gonna go well.
Like Xena and Hercules. That's I remember that being well. Like such, oh my God, that show does not hold up. And then the other one was The A-Team. Actually, was the one. It was on Netflix for a long time. And I went back and I'm like, my God, like, how was this show on TV for so long? And it's the same episode every time, and nobody can shoot anybody with a gun, which I suppose is a good thing nowadays. But
probably how they stayed on TV back then.
It's, a lot of things I find, it's better not to go back. Like, I would almost rather, there's a lot of childhood movies that's like, too. I would rather remember them as I do than go back and rewatch them. Like, I remember probably about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, the TV show The Hilarious House of Frightenstein got brought back to TV on one of the networks. And I remember as a kid that show being so awesome. It had Vincent Price. It had like the werewolf that was basically, he was the DJ and they played all the cool music. And they had, anyways, I went back and watched that show and it's painful to watch. Like a lot of our shows from Saved by the Bell, there's another one.
Oh, No.
You can't go back and watch that, man.
Yes, you can.
Unless it's the episode where Jessie's on speed and she like has the mental breakdown, which by the way is on the same level as when Carlton is on drugs and has his mental breakdown. Every one of these shows had like a drug episode where somebody had like a breakdown.
First of all, there's going to be a rule of this podcast. No. Okay.
There's a list.
There's no way we can degrade, put down, or disrespect Saved by the Bell. I feel
when was the last time you went back and watched it?
Actually, funny you say that. It was probably a couple months ago because I did happen to go find it on YouTube. Uh-huh. Because Saved by the Bell is amazing, first of all. Secondly, growing up where we grew up, a channel we had frequently, well, eventually got, was TBS, right? Turner Broadcasting.
We could do an entire episode on TBS.
And Turner Broadcasting played Saved by the Bell relentlessly. Mm-hmm. Lunchtime, and they played it around when you could possibly be home from school watching it. Or summer, you could watch the entire thing. What I've come to realize is there maybe was 30 episodes. I feel like there may have been more.
I thought there was 100 episodes. Like, it felt like it went on forever.
But I feel
that says there's only 3 years. I don't believe that.
So I feel like there may have been 30 episodes. Thinking maybe 3 seasons of 10 episodes makes sense. But going through it all, I could watch them over and over again. And as we all did growing up doing that, because we had to watch reruns, and it was awesome. It held up. It held up because the bar was set so low in the first place. If you watch that show, the expectation...
Well, yeah, back then.
No, even back then.
But if you watch it now...
No, even back then you watched that and realized it was so far-fetched. It was perfect. It never lied to itself. It never lied to anybody else. It was what it was.
Did you ever watch like the later ones, like the college years or any of that stuff?
Of course. How could you not? And in fact, I still follow Mark Paul Gosselaar today because, quite frankly, he was the coolest kid you could watch.
He got ripped off because he joined, was it NYPD Blue? And he got on there for like the last season and then they ended the show and he's like, yeah.
And he did that Franklin and Bash.
Oh, that's right.
Which was not the world's greatest show or worst show for that matter. But I love he still owns his Zach persona and has fun with it because he gets no royalties from it. So he has a lot of fun with that.
Who did the best of that? Like AC Slater? Whatever his real name is. Mario Lopez? I don't know. What is
I do name? Not call E, being on the E Network, success.
But he's working full time. That's what I'm saying. Like, who else from
so
that?
So Pizza Delivery Boys.
Well, that's more than they can be said about, like, Lisa Turtle. I mean, come on. What has she done? Like,
I thought you were going to say
Dustin. I'm going to find out she's dead. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to find out she's died, and I'm going to feel so terrible.
I think...
No, we know what happened to Dustin. Let's not even...
I didn't... Did,
the guy had shirts that said "Save My House." Like
Kelly Kapowski went on to do the most. She wore more sitcoms. Because
she did no, she 90210.
Oh my god! Yeah,
she did 90210 for a while, and then what else did she do? I don't know. She did, but that was her next big step for sure. More.
Now a show that did not age, that I think you can put right back on, and they're coming back. Mm. Roseanne.
Yeah, Roseanne falls into the category of many other shows where. As long as you ignore the last season, the show is phenomenal. The last season of Roseanne is garbage, and so is the last season. Oh, I was talking about this at home. Oh, what is it? Oh,
but have they not said that when they come
back? I think they're ignoring it.
Yeah, they're coming back from Roseanne.
They have to because Dan died. The whole last season was like a dream.
I feel like they just tried a new writer. Like it just became like, okay, well, we don't know what else to do, so we're just gonna let like the Mike guy write a season and just see where it goes. And turned out he was a massive stoner and didn't know what he's doing. And at the same time, he was watching old episodes of Quantum Leap.
My wife was here; she would remind me. But there was another show we were talking about. The same thing. The last season was just garbage. Like something about these shows where they get their ninth season and it just falls apart. It's probably Golden Girls.
I gotta ask the question. I can't believe Golden Girls was on more than three seasons. I mean, seriously.
But anyways, this probably will tell us.
I'm just looking here. There's a list of shows I'm pulling up right now, and I'm looking at the graphics for Night Court and Perfect Strangers.
Very similar.
First of all, both by different networks.
Yeah.
Okay. And around the same period of time. But the title shot of the show, the cover of the show, is exactly the same thing. They're both still images of the prime location, which is a courthouse for Night Court, for those that remember that show. Which, by the way, that was a great show.
It was a good show.
And Perfect Strangers, which... I feel was good, but I had a short tolerance for because Balky got on my nerves really fast. And not even Balky. I could kind of, at least he was a
fun. I'm glad you corrected it when you said Balky the second time. When you said Balky the first time, I'm like, ugh.
First of all, the stretch of the name.
Those eight but listeners Larry, are going to be very upset.
Larry. Larry drove me nuts.
Did you see the...
Oh, don't tell me he's dead.
No. Okay. I think it was on Kimmel. They did Perfect Stranger Things. So it was a mashup of Stranger Things and Perfect Strangers. It was like a sitcom with the Demogorgon. It was great.
Oh, Mork and Mindy. Can we go down the Robin Williams conversation
right now? Oh, MacGyver's another one. You can't go back and watch MacGyver, I'm telling you. Although I'm sure it's better than the MacGyver that's on TV now.
Why? Okay, and I get the idea. And listen, it just shows, I think, that maybe people from our generation or close to our generation
are the ones making shows now?
Yeah, like they're the production, the producers, they're the directors, they're the creative minds, or they're the bankroll, the financiers. But whatever the case may be. But... Don't we have more creativity than that? Than to go back and try to do our childhood again, thinking we're going to make it better?
No, and you know what happened? Hawaii Five-0 made money, and then after that, they just kept going. Because I think, well, I mean, God, there was a Miami Vice movie. Although the crazy thing about the Miami Vice movie is it was the guy that did the show, did the movie, and the movie was terrible. And then... The
show was terrible.
Yeah. Well, so then they got Hawaii Five-0. What else we got? Lethal Weapon is now a TV show. Yeah, MacGyver is a TV show. Knight Rider has been rebooted a few times and usually fails. Bionic Woman was rebooted.
Listen, if they don't include Hasselhoff in the reboot, it ain't going to work. No. Okay, so it's not going to matter whatsoever.
So, anyways, no, there's no original ideas. I mean, every movie that makes money in the box office is a book or a comic book at this point.
Oh, God, so. You know what pains me really horribly? Is that my entire family likes Fuller House.
I don't even want to. Look, there's a show... You want to go back and watch a show that does not stand up? That is an awful show. That show is awful. And you know what? I refuse to watch Fuller House because Fuller House is so bad. And don't tell me if you notice the laugh track, it doesn't drive you bananas when you watch these old sitcoms because you hear it constantly and well, it's listen, too much.
Some laugh tracks we grew up expecting. So I got it. So if I think to Family Matters, Urkel, and the laugh tracks that come from that world, right? I can live with that. Full House though, I gotta give you that. It felt like even the laugh track was forced. Like, it wasn't even timed accordingly because I wasn't even sure if it was a funny point or not, but the laugh track was telling me it was a joke.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like line, joke, laugh track, line, joke, laugh track. Like, it just keeps doing the same thing.
You've seen the scripts.
Yeah. I think I wrote some of them.
Happy Days. That was good. This list is great, actually. Laverne and Shirley. Like, those were some pretty solid shows. Married with Children. You know where I think I'm failing with TV today?
That went on for 10 years.
You know what? That's was
damn. But again, like you said, like Fox can't drop.
Damn good.
Yeah.
Damn good. And maybe they kept it too long. Who knows? I mean, Simpsons, we can have that conversation. I mean, let's be fair. The Simpsons have been
Is there anybody that's defending the Simpsons at this point? Like, I have to assume even diehard Simpsons fans are like, it is over. Like, it's been over for a long time.
But the ratings clearly dictate.
Are they? Who knows?
They I don't follow ratings. They still have the 8 o'clock time slot on Sunday nights. So you got to believe. You got to believe it's there. Now, they do get bumped for football quite a bit, though. And Seth MacFarlane does back up the other half of it. So it's almost like it's a warm-up to Family Guy and American Dad.
I feel like there should be a law that a TV show has to end after a certain number of seasons. Like, you just can't do more than 10. Like, just end it.
It has a natural death?
Something. Like, there's no stories left.
Silver Spoons. That was 5 years. Sorry, but I can't believe that was 5 years. But then again, Three's Company was 7 years. The Waltons. Oh, my dad used to watch that.
I feel like any show we remember was on forever.
Speaking of forever, The Wonder Years.
Only 5 years, though.
You know what? Now, when you watch The Wonder Years, and anyone in the audience here, I'd love to hear from you on this one. Honestly, did you not think The Wonder Years really was an older show than what you watched?
I did, and it bored me. That's why I usually didn't watch it. I honestly thought I was like, this is dumb. I'm just going to change the channel to my third channel.
I really thought it was like earlier. Like, you know, it is late 80s when you watch
that. No, it was like watching a show. You're like, this is my parents' show. And you're like, moving on. Yeah. And it's, why is there voiceover?
But you have to give it some credit because actually, when you think about it, that was really well done to captivate that time. I mean, the last show that came out that tried to captivate, that had come out to try to captivate an earlier time period was Happy Days.
Which is great, but I, as a child, did not realize nor appreciate that in the least.
Now we've progressed into 90s television shows, and I've actually just started to realize they classified Elf as 90s.
Yeah, that's... what? This list is broken, because it says 1986 to 1990. How do you classify that as a 90s show? You ended in 1990.
But I did segue into the conversation of Elf, which... Now that I'm thinking about this whole watching a show too early, I actually think Elf might be up there. Because kids got to watch and were encouraged to watch this because it was a puppet.
It was a stuffed animal. It was
I have rewatched this with my kids.
Yeah.
This is incredibly sarcastic. It's almost volatile sarcasm. I love it.
Yeah.
It is great. I pretty much have figured out why my sarcastic ability came from this. I get it. I can link it. And also realize that's probably why I was a giant pain in the ass at school, because I had sass, they would say, essentially, because I probably picked up so much dialogue from this that was probably wrong. Actually, I know it was wrong. And looking at it now, listening to it, I've watched my kids look at it, and when they started gasping at some of the lines, I'm looking going, it's just Elf. And then I realized, oh my lord, Elf was not for children.
I'm really trying to think of a world where a sitcom about an alien, it's not even a Muppet, I guess. He's
a Muppet.
It's just, okay. We'll call him Muppet. How did that show, I can't imagine that show getting greenlit now. I mean, Million Dollar Productions don't stay on the air for more than, you know, one season, and yet Elf was on for four.
Speaking of alien shows, alien shows, right above it, Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
That was amazing.
It was, at least it was a comedy, and they just used that. But there's no sitcoms. There's no sitcoms now.
No.
Unless Chuck Lorre puts it out, nobody... It doesn't get greenlit.
And someday we will have a conversation about why you don't like The Big Bang Theory, because I can't figure out why, because actually...
It'll be an extended podcast. It'll be like 4 hours long, but...
That bad? You really, really don't like it? Can't get over that.
I guess what's replaced the standard sitcom is like an Arrested Development, a show where there's no laugh track, and it's not like a multi-cam, single room at a time show. Like, it's just that single cam show. So you've got like Arrested Development, The Office, Parks and Rec, that kind of show where there's no laugh track. That's kind of what's done it, I think.
Thank you, Chris Pratt. That guy's awesome. You know, my nephew went out for Halloween.
And, as Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Really?
He dressed up as Star-Lord, and everyone asked
him. Oh, I thought you were just going to say straight up Chris Pratt.
No, no. He dressed up as Star-Lord, and when someone asked him who he was, he said Chris Pratt.
That's awesome. Like, I wish... I don't know. What kind of costume would be a mix between, like, Star-Lord and, like, the guy from Jurassic World and, like, the guy from Parks and Rec? I don't even know.
I feel like the first two are the same guy.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec...
Except the Star-Lord has a fancy future suit.
If you want to do Andy from Parks and Rec, it's just jogging pants.
Mm-hmm.
So you need jogging pants. Yeah. Maybe a cast. People will get it from the first season. I could not stand Ray Romano.
Nobody loves Raymond. Come on. Everybody loves Raymond. But then I'm on the same boat that I can't handle King Queens.
Oh, no, I can't. You know what? I can watch... what's his face there? Kevin... what's his name?
Kevin James?
Yeah, that's his name, right? Yeah, there it is. I can watch Kevin James with the hopes that it just is going to go away. It's like I'm almost watching it with the expectation that the credits will roll early or something. And I can watch Paul Blart Mall Cop for 10 minutes and think to myself, maybe the network will
just... Good for you.
cut it off or something. Like they'll put me out of my pain. But yet he still has work.
Well, and now like the new show that he's doing, they've kind of... making it to the be King of Queens.
Or King of Queens again.
Because...
just again.
They've just put her back on the show, and now... I don't know.
I heard... Now, did I hear this correctly? They killed the original wife. See, that's like, just off-screen.
That's what my wife said. They killed off the wife, put Leah Remini on the show as his friend, and it's just... I don't know why they just don't reboot King of... Well, I mean, I don't want that,
is
but...
Is Jerry Stiller alive?
No, you know what? I think he did pass.
So then that's why they can't
read. I actually think both of the parents from Seinfeld are dead now, because I think the one that played is not Jerry's parents, but I can't even think of his name. George's parents. I think because Jerry Stiller was one, and then I forget the name of the lady that played his mom, but I think she's gone too. But yeah, no, we don't need more of that program.
So I'm pulling up current sitcoms of today to get a snapshot of what could be a sitcom. See, I also feel like a sitcom is dying because of the fact of just how we stream media now. Like, really, you have your cable, but I question what for in some cases.
I haven't seen most of these on your... Well, It's Always Sunny. I've seen lots of... It's on all the time on FX.
But I feel like you get drawn back to the sitcom now because of the celebrities going into other things. Right? Because if I'm correct, I had no idea. Is that Rudd?
No.
No, okay, he looks kind of like Rudd. Who's the screamy guy? I remember him from Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, Charlie Day.
Yeah, he screams at everything, right?
But see, in your list, which people can't see, we have to remember that, but it had like Veep, it had like a lot of these programs that are, like I was saying, no laugh track, all like a Parks and Rec, like an Office.
Modern Family. How Modern Family does it now. There's no laugh track.
Yeah.
And that, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that's pretty cool.
Modern Family is pretty good.
Yeah, I guess that's the new take of a sitcom now.
Well, that's it. There's no standard left. And like you said, Roseanne's coming back. That'll be probably the closest thing to that.
I feel like Black-ish would be very funny. Simply just looking at the cast, I feel like that has a possibility to be pretty good. Lawrence Fishburne and Anthony Anderson could be really good together.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people in the middle could be something. Who knows? You know, sitcoms have the ability to find some gems in there.
I saw a picture of the set for the Roseanne, not a reboot, but the follow-up season. And I don't know. They did the kitchen scene looks exactly like the old show. So they're definitely on the ball for it. I think it was like Whitney Cummings is a writer on that. And there's a lot of big comedy writers that are on that show. And then I think Roseanne picked some of her people from the old show. But yeah, the last season of Roseanne, Dan Carner's dead, so they have to. That what's happening?
That is Rick and Morty. Which,
but is that a sitcom? That's like saying The Simpsons is a sitcom. Is The Simpsons a sitcom?
I feel like we're gonna struggle on labeling here.
I guess it is. It's just an animated sitcom.
Yeah, right? Okay. Rick and Morty looks to me like it's. Right now it's on my top of my list of things I want to watch.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I haven't seen it, but I know just from like osmosis, it's like one of the most popular shows that are on TV right now.
Now I remember growing up, a lot of people were watching Adventure Time, and I never did.
How
watch
were you
it.
Watching that growing up? That was we were adults when that came out.
Well, we're always growing up.
Okay, fair enough.
We're not adults yet. Truly.
Yeah.
We're filming a podcast.
Age is just a number.
We're filming a podcast. We're filming. No one's filming.
There's no cameras
here. We're recording. We will eventually get to the let's film it and put it on YouTube stage.
At this point, Adam is imagining cameras filming him, and he's only had maybe two drinks.
Listen, we're fine. Rick and Morty. And then, again, BoJack.
We're just into animated stuff now.
I feel like, you know what it is? They want really funny stuff, and they can't get people to say it the way they want it to, so they draw it.
Hey, I like BoJack Horseman. It's pretty good. Yeah. Kimmy Schmidt, I've seen a little bit of. But again, it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine's great.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. That is great.
But again, none of these are laugh tracks. These are all in the vein of like The Office and Parks and Rec. They're that comedy where it's not the old style sitcom. There isn't really. I mean, I guess Breaking Bad is probably. Or not Breaking Bad. What am I thinking of? What's the one that you just told me that I wouldn't like? That I don't like?
You said the cranky, pessimistic self said that to a lot of things right now. You know, the best part is we're actually having one of those moments that if someone's listening to this, they are saying the answer out loud, are not.
Big Bang Theory. That is the old style. That's the laugh track. That's the joke, joke, laugh. But there's not a lot of shows that are on that have that anymore.
So I guess you haven't watched Young Sheldon either then, eh?
No. No.
Fair enough.
No. Do we have a topic to talk about for this episode? Or are we just going to keep Googling old TV shows? I'm just curious.
Our homework spurred some good conversation.
That's true.
Well, I was going to ask your take on something.
It spurred 32 minutes of conversation. We're already well into this podcast.
But it's awesome. We firmly established that we are an hour podcast. For sure.
Well, we ran out of things to say.
No, we haven't, because I haven't gone to the topic for today. That's true. I did have a topic for today. So
lay it on me.
Okay. So it's November. We've started in November.
It is November.
Okay. So
when you're listening to this, it could be January. I can't guarantee anything.
So what kind of peeved me off at the beginning of the month, and I started thinking about this a little bit, is that
it's Movember.
Yes.
It is Movember, not November.
And here's the thing. It's
I've had way too much to drink.
No, I love caring about stuff. I love people talking about caring about other things and actually caring about the world around you.
I just saw a great poster. It just says I love caring about stuff. It's a great
That's a t-shirt. But in all seriousness though, I think it's great. To strive to have awareness, to care about other things, to care about more than who you are and care about people around you is all important. It's really, really important about life in general. I get all that. When did we become so struck with tunnel vision or so focused on ourselves or always looking inward or whatever the rationale is that we need to have over 2,300 awareness days a year? We need to be told about absolutely everything to be aware of as if we have no conscious ability of our own. There's a sibling awareness day. You don't know you have a sibling.
Look, sometimes you have one of those days you're just like, man, I'm an only child. And then you're like, wait, today is sibling. Why? I don't know. Is there 2,300 days in the year? No? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you, there's not.
So there's so many awareness days that they've now overlap significantly.
Overlap
significantly. Four, five, six times.
I looked this up because you said to me, do homework for a topic. Yeah. So I did. I did homework for a topic. And
what's today?
Today is November 12th. So.
Allegedly.
So in November, so far.
What the
so far,
hell is that?
Okay.
That's not a day. What is happening? All right. You've brought up a website that is setting off a lot of alarms in my head. Awareness.
Are you?
What does it say? So, www.awarenessdays.com.
Okay.
Don't ever go there.
Listen. All you have to do is Google, and there are multiple online calendars you can download, so something can tell you to be aware of something as if you had no idea what was going on around
you. I'm already upset.
Okay. So, and the thing is, I get there's massive issues out there. I don't for one second want to downplay any major
issues. Is one of the massive issues vegetables?
Well, you just kind of stole my segue. This is what I was getting at. There are issues that are really worth the conversation, you know, Mental Awareness Month, Breast Cancer. I mean, the list goes on.
Remembrance Day.
There's, well, hold on. Remembrance Day isn't an awareness day. It's its own day, okay? And quite frankly, it really should be a thing we live all year. But, and many of us do. But what I'm getting at here is, like, in all seriousness, on November 1st, okay, I'm being told that I need to have my Vegetable Pledge Day. It is the highlight, the beginning of Lung Cancer Awareness Month. It is also Movember, right? Men's Health Awareness Month. But it's also Mouth Cancer. It is also Novel Writing Month. It is also Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. It is also COPD Awareness Month. It is also Ask Your Pharmacist Week.
No, that one doesn't start till the 6th of November.
That's the first week.
It's fair enough.
There, okay. Yep. And that is all in the first week. That all those major issues, and then we get into the more fine-tuned stuff, like let's make sure it's National Schools Meal Week, right? Now, this is a UK calendar, okay? So maybe,
the British, we're going to UK.
Maybe the British are overdoing it. So let's just pull back for a second, and let's see if we can find one. I'm going to go Canada. I'm going to make fun of Canada.
It's a good thing that there's a men's awareness, health awareness, because I was really unaware of my own health until somebody told me to do it.
I'm hoping.
Also, facial hair cures most cancers, from what I've gathered from Movember.
I feel like I'm just going to go to Wikipedia. Now,
it's a legitimate source.
Now, listen, my fear with Wikipedia is that even when we're done with this, we could add awareness days to this.
I think we should.
I feel like we should have an awareness days.
Yeah.
Be aware of the fact that we have too many awareness days.
Today is Podcast Awareness Day.
So, okay, let's go back to November.
I saw Pig Day. I wish I was making that up. Universal Children's Day. What?
Okay, so in light of some of the International Lennox-Gastaut Syndrome Awareness Day, so that's not working very well because I don't know what that is.
I literally thought that one said World KFC Day for a moment. I was like, that's amazing. There should be, but apparently there isn't a World KFC Day.
World Diabetes Day. These are the World International Days.
World Television Day. Isn't that every day?
I feel like television shouldn't get its own day.
No. It's every day.
Okay, so hold on.
What day are people not watching TV?
Now I'm confusing. And
Who's benefiting from World Television Day? Televisions?
I don't even know what to comment on that one. Yeah, there's
like all okay, of this. Okay, is... here,
great one. International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Every Woman. That's called every day that ends with Y.
Also,
like, let's be fair. Like, this should be. I don't know how to put this. When we trivialize, in my opinion, when we trivialize something that once a day we put on a ribbon, we try to put on a sticker, and you can make fun of me all you want because I grew a beard this month. But it's not just this month. It's just got lazy and want to stop shaving, and I've got less meetings.
It's an excuse. You're like, well, I'm doing it for this.
I'm bald, and this is the best I can do for hair. So this is where we are.
Fine. But what exactly?
World Toilet Day.
Yeah, what exactly am I doing for World Toilet Day other than doing the same thing I do every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, often multiple times a day?
Yeah, so in this list even is more...
Also, there was an International Men's Awareness Day, I think it was, or Men's Day.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go out in the street celebrating Men's Day,
I'm looking, there's even, and they go from days
fix
to weeks.
A leak week.
Weeks. Fix a leak. That is fix.
Fix a leak week. You know what? I've been waiting all year for this week. Now's the time to fix that sink that's been flooding my basement.
So, there's just so...
Contact Lens Health Week.
I didn't even think this was going to be as bad as this is wonderfully awesome. This is turning into...
I'm literally just picking ones at random, and it's bad. It's real
Gifted
bad.
Gifted Awareness Week.
Okay. For those...
Being smarter
Gifted?
Than,
like X-Men?
National Map Reading Week.
National Dairy Goat Awareness Week. Dairy Goat.
Yeah, not the regular goats. We don't care about them. We only care about What's the dairy happening? Goats.
National
now,
Map Reading Week.
Now, who... I don't know how you get these things. Oh, there's months. There's the full months.
If I wasn't actually attached to this headset, I would walk out of this room right now because this is insane.
Oh, here's a way better list.
This is references. So those are the people that will tell you why these days exist.
So, anyways, my comment to you, and you've kind of already gone into it a bit, was I was going to ask
I am for every one of these days. If anyone's listening, I will sponsor everything.
You know, if every one of these days had a walk, would you ever stop?
No, but is there like National Go to Work Day or something like that? I don't know. Ooh, a downloadable calendar.
I think this is the one that I found originally that blew my mind. Yeah, this is the one. The 2300 Holidays and Observances, they called it.
I'm going to do my best in the show notes for this. I'm going to include every link for this so that everyone listening can get just as angry as we are getting right now.
Okay, so the list literally just for October. So these are the things you missed, okay? I can tell you right now, you missed these. You missed Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. You missed American Cheese Month. Maybe you didn't. You missed Bat Appreciation, okay? World Blindness Month.
Although, to be honest, you know what? Okay, that's October makes sense for Bat Appreciation. If ever there was a month, the month of Halloween, Bat Appreciation.
I'm a bit concerned.
I'll give you that.
Celebrating the Bilingual Child? What about the Bilingual Adult?
Also, what if only one of your kids speaks two languages?
Church Library Month, but yet I see no Library Month. Class Reunion Month. Now, I would assume Class Reunion Month would be like in the summer, really. If we're going to start putting some logic behind this.
Yeah, there's not a lot of class reunions in
co-op.
October.
Is this like farm co-op or like co-op high school co-op? Or is this... Like, they really should have some better descriptors in giving this to us. Cutout Dissection Month. I feel like that might be important, but I'm not sure why. Eat Better, Eat Together Month.
Oh my god. Feral Hog Month.
That's feral as in like the wild hog.
As in... Month. Well, good. Two more down. There's Go Hog Wild, Eat Country Ham.
Month.
What's happening?
Home Eye Safety Month.
International Starman Month.
This is all October, folks. So these are things you have
That's it.
Forgotten
we're,
to do.
We're making up our own because anyone can, I think.
I feel like this is probably an American list because this is so overdone. And I'm sorry, any American listeners out there, but this is... Okay, National Cookie Month.
I don't know. The UK one was pretty bananas.
It wasn't this long.
No. This is just October.
National Gain the Inside Advantage Month. I feel like I'm either missing out completely with what's going on in the world, or I feel like these things just haven't done very well at reaching very far. I'm not sure what one of these two. And I mean, I follow all the stupid crap on my social media. I link a lot of stuff. I look what everybody else is doing a lot. I mean, to be fair, I have a lot of people that I follow on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff that celebrate a lot of weird things that really are avid crazy hunters. Every photo has them and a gun. I'm not a big fan of that. But I'm also the other total socialist aspect on there too. So I'm all over the place. And most of these, if not 99% of these, I have National Pickled Peppers Month.
Yeah. How about National Kitchen and Bath Month? What? Why is that? What's happening? Is that just that you're supposed to do your renovations in October?
Also, October is National Popcorn Popping Month, and November is National Eating Popcorn Month. there it is! This is how the whole podcast started. National Sarcastic Awareness Month.
But it's not... Toilet tank repairs. What the hell?
I feel...
Raptor Month! What? What does that even mean?
I gotta think it's birds. I gotta think
that's... Right Brainer's Rule! Exclamation mark month. This is just bananas. We can make up anything. I'm going to make up something for December. That's it. I'm working on it. That's my homework.
But this is... Okay, and so where I'm getting at with this is... The more connected we're becoming when I look at Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and probably other realms I'm not even talking about that I'm not even involved with, but we have so much more connectivity to everything that's happening around us all the time. Do we really even, like, when did this become such a thing and such an unrelentless thing, clearly by these lists, that it has lost all basis? I feel like this has completely watered down the concept. I mean, this is the whole, like, what happened to Kaepernick in the NFL kind of thing. They've just overdone it. It's just too much. It's too much to make any sense. Because there are some really awesome awareness months and campaigns and days that make a lot of sense.
Sure, October 2nd is International Day of Nonviolence. Great. Also, it's National Fried Scallops Day. What?
just saw that.
Why?
Yeah.
I wonder, part of me thinks that, like, maybe this is a list that's, like, you know how, like, small towns have their own, like, days and, like, restaurants have their own days? Like, this seems like it's just a mix of stuff. What? National Fluffer Nutter Day.
I just want you to say it, because, honestly.
I'm just, like, who says who? Like, who made that up? I think that's where the question becomes, where...
Moldy cheese. Moldy cheese day.
National kick butt day. Is that the same day as International Nonviolence Day?
That's every Friday when this podcast airs is National Kick Butt Day.
Well, I mean...
Or Sundays.
It's recorded. We don't even... You know what? It's whenever you heard this is National that day.
National Kick Butt Day. I feel like that's on their t-shirt as well.
Yeah. And I'm going to find the people that made these days and...
Sausage pizza day. Jeez. See, now what's killing me with this list is now I'm going to have to go through it to find out if National Sausage Pizza Day gets a day, is there National Pineapple Pizza Day?
Probably.
Ham? And how do they break that down over 12 months? And who makes...
Okay, this is when it's really getting loosey-goosey. National Take Your Parents to Lunch Day changes annually to be verified. So okay. It's not even like it's a specific day. It's really just winging it.
We're going to do some investigative journalism here for everybody.
It's called Google.
Do you create... You think anybody does investigating journalism any other way?
That's how I do my job every day. Not that I'm an investigative journalist, but if I was, probably would be doing it. Look at that.
I don't even have to finish it. Yep. It's how do you create an awareness day? First link. First step is to decide whether your nonprofit will create your own awareness day campaign or build your campaign around an already well-known awareness day, or both. Then when planning your content strategy, add the awareness day campaign to your editorial calendar. So apparently you just make it up your own.
Yeah, well, I mean, we would go with the option that we're just making our own.
Well, hold on. Someone is sharing us a strategy on how to actually make a National Awareness Day. Pick the right date. So criteria one is just picking the right date, apparently.
Okay.
So avoid clashing with anybody. Make it interesting. Now, as you see from the list we've gone through, I guess some of them are interesting because we did read them out over other ones, right?
This article is on LinkedIn.
It makes it feel like it's valid, doesn't it? Right?
It does.
Most campaigns aim to raise awareness of a good cause or brand. The tricky part is doing this while offering something fun in return. Christmas Jumper Day is much more fun than Donate Money to Save the Children Day.
It's all about fun.
Think of a novelty angle and run with it. Talk Like a Pirate Day is a worldwide phenomenon because it's fun. Is it really?
When? Yeah, well, I know about it. I don't know.
You seriously know about that?
I do know of it, yeah.
Okay. So, note there are too many wear blue, purple, red stripes, hats, colored socks days already. Pick something else. Promote it in the right places. So you literally can just promote this anywhere. Make full use of the internet. Have an easy way to find the website, National No Cake Day. That day should not exist. National No Cake Day.
Wow. So how, of course, who's not using the internet for this? How else are you spreading these lies?
How hire a PR agency. Get a celebrity on board. Oh my goodness. Celebrities are great tools for promoting a cause or brand or event, depending on which celebrity you go for. They can be cheap or even free. I don't think a free one's going to garner a whole lot for you. But anyways, for detailed celebrity profiles, contacts, and endorsements, check out www.celebrityintelligence.com. Why do I feel like celebrity intelligence is an oxymoron for what type of celebrity I'm going to find on that list?
I think it's the same celebrities that will like record your voicemail message for you at a small fee.
Be active on the day.
Just forget it.
Plan for next year. Wow. I'm going to celebrityintelligence.com because I want to see what celebrities these are. I'm feeling like some of those celebrities we talked about early on with the television shows may be on this list.
A lot of washed up wrestlers and stuff.
Contacts, insights, events. I really... Celebrity matching. Wow.
Just give me a list. I just want to see a list.
This is...
I guess by celebrity, they just mean people we don't know.
Yeah, I guess they're not really going to... Oh, they're making me sign up, have an account. Mm. I really don't want to get an account. This is not what I need more spam from.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is
you really want Dustin Diamond to endorse National Hot Dog Day or whatever it is.
I'm just gonna check on news and see maybe some things they've announced in the media. I don't feel like they have anything to do with Jimmy Choo or Reebok and Victoria Beckham. I don't
Soulja Boy.
I feel like this is just them taking stuff from the media. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm just.
Yeah, this went off the rails.
Yeah. So, anyways.
So we're going with awareness days too much?
Yeah. So with that being said, we should make our own.
It's too much, but hey, let's just join in.
Well, we can either make our own to show the absolute watering down of the process, or maybe it turns out it's not as easy as this gentleman in LinkedIn is describing.
Well, you know what the problem's going to be is we're going to think of something ridiculous. It's already going to exist.
I do think it'd be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle to find a day.
Like, what can we bring awareness to that doesn't already have a day? Like National Old School Wrestler Day.
Well, I want to find out.
I don't know.
Another thing, too, maybe a listener can correct me on this, which I'm sure they'll correct me many times.
Not if we don't give them any option to contact us.
Is it even working? I mean, some things, obviously, I think are working quite well. So I'm the biggies, right? The biggies.
Well, okay. Are we the general public? I suppose we are on the internet enough. So of those days, how many of them were shocking to us? Most of them. So most of those days are not working because we do not know that National Pig Day or is a
feral
thing.
It was feral hog.
Sorry, feral hog and hog farm day. I don't know. There was too many. So no, I don't think most of them are not working, but maybe because they don't have good celebrities.
Speaking of awesome people in society and celebrities right now, because I feel like we need to go into awesome stuff. I feel like the most kick-ass celebrities out there that if I'm going to pick them to be role models are people that I actually want to like conversate with. If I were to have an awareness day that I want them to get behind, mm-hmm. there's two of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, which in fact they wouldn't get behind my awareness mm-hmm. day because that's how much I like them, mm-hmm. and that's going to be Keanu Reeves.
Oh, okay.
And Jim Carrey.
Wow. Okay. So, you know Jim Carrey's crazy, right?
I don't think he's crazy.
Oh, if he's not crazy, he's doing a real good job
because
acting.
I can actually relate to some of the stuff he's saying, so it makes me feel like he's not crazy.
Ooh, maybe you're crazy. Also,
Hold on.
Give you Keanu Reeves. I've seen him.
He's been through such shit in this world that most average human being couldn't get through and make it, let alone...
Who?
Keanu Reeves.
Bill and Ted?
No, his first one. His first wife, the death of the she died on him, and...
What are we talking about? Did that really happen?
Yes, it really happened. It wasn't a movie.
I think I saw that movie. Charlize Theron in it, maybe?
No, that's... God.
Something November? I don't know.
I'm going to leave that with you to do some research and come back humble and get you to stop.
Hey, I don't necessarily have a problem with him. I think Jim Carrey's a little bit off his rocker, but...
But I think... Okay, first of all, I was having this conversation earlier today with my wife. That anyone that is truly artistic, other things are activated in the brain than the rest, probably. So there's things that are just not the same relationship. The facial expressions you're making are pretty much summarizing that correctly.
Well, assuming the news hasn't changed by the time this podcast comes out, all you have to do is look at the news and to see how off some of these creative types are.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, there's some crazy crap going on out there. But no, I mean, I looked at some of the quotes that Jim's thrown out there I've really enjoyed. Decisions we make in this moment are based in either love or fear. Many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality. What we really want seems impossibly out of reach and ridiculous to expect. So we never dare ask the universe for it. But we never dare pursue it. If you can fail at what you don't want, you might as well take a chance on doing what you love. That's a great idea. It's really easy to have what you consider something to be realistic or practical, and it can really weigh you down. Or it's complacency. I look at it as complacency. You just settle in and don't take the risk because in that way you can't get hurt. And what happens is you're just basically living in that cave. And I agree with that mentality.
Which is fine, but I think Jim Carrey also said that Jim Carrey doesn't exist at some point. Oh,
the whole existing thing got spun around all weird.
Okay.
But... Okay, there's a little bit. There's a little bit. But I'll give you this. There is a little craziness in there.
There is, later this month, there is a documentary coming out with Jim Carrey, and it shows behind the scenes footage when he was playing Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon, and it looks very good. I saw the trailer for it, and apparently he was in character the entire time he filmed that movie. So since you're a big fan, I think you will enjoy it.
But okay, but you throw on the guys who stay in character. James Franco.
Yeah.
He does that a lot. He's in character.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I don't think he's crazy.
Same with the guy that played Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis. Same thing.
He feels like he'd kill me.
Probably. He maybe can't. I can't say. Maybe.
All right. So anyways, I guess I think I did not prepare myself for was homework.
You were supposed to have... This is your opportunity.
Okay. So I go off top of my head.
It can't be Keanu Reeves.
It's not... Greatest Keanu Reeves. I'll do that on my own. Speed.
By the way, I'm hoping for Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah. Who isn't?
I'm sure it'll be terrible.
Probably everyone listening is going, yeah. Me, put their hand up. Okay, so I'm going to stay with this whole generational thing with us, but I'm going to go... You're actually going to write this down. I love it.
I'll forget it.
Fair enough. So what I think I really want to go with is I'm really going to focus this right down. Okay. Least effective Transformer. So, growing up in our childhood, Transformers were a big show. And they had a wide range of characters. A lot of them were absolutely a waste of space. Some of them were absolutely amazing. And considering it was a show completely made by a toy company, with the sole premise of making you want a toy every week, and them pretty much launching new characters every week for the sole purpose of you wanting a new toy... I feel like they missed the mark a lot.
So now when you say least effective, do you mean in like the actual toy, like in real life, or do you just mean like in the show?
Just the concept.
Because like...
There were Transformers that turned into like headphones.
Yeah.
What purpose was that serving in a battle between good and evil on a planet?
We can't get into this. This is for the next episode, but I just want to know where we're at.
Just saying. That's a teaser. I was going to ask if there was ever an episode where someone in G.I. Joe actually shot another person.
Nobody dies in G.I. Joe, except the movies.
But I'm gonna leave that. That one we're not going to do another day because it's too easy. But I'll go with the specifics. We've got some more broader ones for later on.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the end. And I did mention this up front. Why don't you tell me right now, why don't you recommend something that you're listening to, reading, watching, anything, something that you've done recently that's good that maybe I have not.
Okay.
Our
former Governor General, David Johnson, wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a synopsis. It is a collection of letters he has written about... every day he actually wrote a letter of positivity to somebody, and whether it was thanking them, praising them, or telling them how they influenced him. It was really nice concept idea that he would wake up every day and enter the world in a state of positivity by actually focusing and sharing the positiveness either that was instilled upon him by somebody else or whatever the case may be. And it was really cool how he did that. He wrote those every day. And this book was published as a collection of letters that he wrote. And I've been actually poking through that a little bit. And I think that is a really interesting read.
What do you know the name of the book?
Oh.
Presumably it's the only book he's done?
I don't think actually it's his only book. I'm pretty sure it's just his newest book.
Okay. You're confirming that information. I will take the easy route since it's the only thing I've been consuming lately. I'm going to go on the path of least resistance and say that I've been watching I finished watching Stranger Things 2, and it's phenomenal, and I highly recommend it. If you haven't seen the first season, which I don't know who you are, but maybe you haven't, you should watch that first, obviously. And then I watched season 2, which was even better. And then they had Beyond Stranger Things, which is not so great, but it's kind of like the after show for The Walking Dead. But don't do what I did and watch an episode after watching the first episode of Stranger Things 2. You got to watch the whole season and then the show. And yes, what's it called?
The book is called The Idea of Canada, Letters to a Nation.
All right.
Really, really interesting read. I've got through probably half of it, and very fun. Very fun to see that the idea of writing and to keep that idea alive. And he does challenge you to try to do this yourself, which, by the way, sounds like a daunting task. And it is, because I honestly have put it in my calendar every day to get up and write a letter to somebody. So far, I have written one letter. It's not even done nicely. I got to rewrite it, and I haven't gotten the mail yet, and that's 8 days in.
So, are you writing it by hand?
Yes, that's the challenge. You write it by hand, and you have to mail it, which also takes me to a whole other conversation of, you know, you really don't have people's mailing addresses the way you used to now that you have email.
The last time I had to deal with mailing addresses was for my wedding. And yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the last time I had to deal with giving out my address. I mean, other than like Amazon. But
did you e-invite for your wedding?
No.
Just thinking.
No, but I have been e-invited to weddings, and you know what? I didn't go to them because I'm like, you know what? Unless it comes in my mailbox, I'm not going.
You really judge that hard?
Yes.
Wow.
If you don't care enough to send me an actual paper invitation, I don't need to go to your
wedding. I would have thought it was innovative, but that's just me.
No.
Anyways, we'll leave it at that. And back to that whole pessimistic thing. Anyways.
All right, so we got our homework. We're wrapped good. Up. We're good.
All right, and that's another episode of Everything Zen.